작조하는 것이라네. 성불 작조가 무엇이냐? 시심시불이고 중생제불하나니라.
선철스님 insisted when he was teaching when he was alive. And sentient beings are Buddhas. It does not mean they had to do a lot of practice to become a Buddha. In other words, does not mean sentient beings, each of them have to be transformed in order to become Buddha. Just the way they are Buddha. So, if you read, for instance, the Ikkhose Mount Gaya, you know, the three selections, both are read during the Lenten Mining service, the Buddha's birthday celebration. He says, you know, there are all these Buddhas, you know, street Buddhas or temple Buddhas and dimensions Buddhas and non-dimensioned Buddhas, you know, people in red districts, prostitute Buddhas, you know, they all list the whole thing. And it's a very good book, and each temple has the Lenten Lighting Service, which is the last event of the Buddha's birthday celebration. Usually they make a selection from Dhammapada and other books. But those are very good selections, the Ikkhose of Mount Gaya. And someone who can recite, you know, wonderful. It just really touches me. Right?
I thought that was wonderful stuff. Great.
And now, so just the way they are already Buddhas. That's now, then you may ask, why this practice? One answer for that is because of your hard training, hard practice as a bodhisattva, or aspiring to for bodhisattva vocation. There are so many Buddhas. You have them realize they are really Buddhas. Such is the extent of our work. Okay?
Yes!
Okay. Okay.
Now, is I forgot this fellow's name. He there's a small book which I saw recently. It's a three major religions in the United States. And first the Christianity and Islam and Buddhism. In terms of the numbers of followers or beliefs, and also their influence, you know, Christians are numerous and their influence is widespread. And okay, I tried. So they have around here well established. And more recently, Islam. You know, there are many of them are new citizens and new immigrants, but it's remarkable how their numbers have been increased in this country. And also, even though all these negative publicity about this religion, and just in terms of numbers, and then their influence is more and more beginning to be felt in this country. For instance, look at the debate that is raising at Tim Towers. They are putting up, you know, so not too far from here, they have this Muslim group, or Islamic group. They have been trying to establish a mosque or Islamic cultural center. And then they have quite important leaders, who begin to speak out, for their interest and, to bring out a new image of, the real teachings of Islamism, apart from the Taliban or suicide and everything. So then you may wonder, why Buddhism? In terms of the numbers, I think there would be certainly more Hindus than Buddhists in this country. And probably there are more Jewish.
Yes, we were sort of wondering about that.
more Jewish than Buddhists.
For several hundred years, they've been saying that the Jews controlled everything. Now suddenly we're off the list.
I'm not the right person for you to lodge your complaint.
Not complaining.
But you are not. Well, here, I think Jews, the word Jews and Jewish, are different. It's more like ethnic, but you are not really a follower of Judaism.
No, I'm not a follower of Judaism.
Yeah. So, anyway, I would like to get into that today. but anyway, it's interesting. I mean, the writer of each chapter, you know, for Buddhism and Islam, of course they are specialists, academics, you know, or they are religious leaders. But the one who wrote this chapter on Buddhism, obviously it is it's bigger than pamphlet. Obviously it's intended for Polish mix of this country and journalists, and you know, so to show them, you know, what are these three religions that have been taking root and what they mean to us in terms of, you know, for Polish mix and all that. So he used the word that the, Buddhism is unique. You know. It's, I guess, he did not say it's different from Islamism or Christianity, or as an alternative to Christianity. He did not say that, but he used the word unique in quality. You know. It's, I think he did say it's different. It has a different worldview and a different perspective and different practice. And obviously, all monotheistic religions, they pray to God, or to Allah, or to Jehovah. But Buddhists, they meditate. So the approach is a radically different approach to salvation. Now, so much is clear then, you know. And so, in a sense, I usually say, if you get tired of meditation, you can, you know, just in case you can always go to church and start praying. Or if you get tired of praying, you can come and join me too. So, it's now, it's a meditation is important, but each of you have a practice, whether it's padu or counting breath, or sadhana, or samadhi kind of practice, including prostrations too. Now, this practice you have is very important. I mean, Buddhists, we don't have something like a Quran or Bible or prayer, you know, unto God. But we have a practice, that much is important. This practice is your guide who shows you the way for your Buddhist journey. And is a tool to fix your problems. And a savior to set you free from suffering, from attachment and suffering. And also this practice is the light and hope for you. So, and you can relate to this, this much is important. So that means if it is like a guide, the guide and the tool, and your savior, and the light, and hope. You have to learn to take care of it. That's what it's all about. It's very important. Without this practice, what would be Buddhism? So, it's, you may think, oh, just counting. Up and breath over and over and over again, and this endless sitting, this endless sitting has been killing me.
Ouch!
That's true.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's direct experience.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, that's making, you know, like you can read about your direct experience. So go right to your bone marrow. So you have to think about, and also doing itself entering the teacher's room so many times. That's also great practice. You may not think of much, but that's very important practice. And each time you enter, it's different. It may be very brief, but the importance is not diminished. So you never discuss your practice with others. If you do that, you do that at the risk of losing your practice. This is something precious, something important, something treasure. So you guard it, or keep it safe, all to yourself. That's very important. Anyone understand this? As soon as you start discussing, when I say you lose means it becomes cerebral. Sting gets out. The efficacy is gone. And also, that you have this practice means you trust yourself. You place a strong faith in yourself. You may not be aware of that each and every moment, but that's in part still.